Hello, and welcome to part two of Resurrection, the Hope of Our Salvation. If you didn't see part one last week with Bob, then I'd definitely recommend going and checking that out. The link for the video will be in the video description. And as with Bob last week, feel free to go and get yourselves a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. I'm not going to because I have a tendency to spill it down myself and that won't be a good look for the rest of the video. But you're more than free to, so if you want to pause the video and go and get that. And while you're away, if you haven't yet, why don't you read John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44, because that's what I'm going to be speaking from today. So feel free to go and do whatever you need to do, and I'll see you in a minute. So before I begin, let's have a little bit of background on what was going on in Jesus' life at this point. In John chapter 10, verses 22 and 23, we see that Jesus is in Jerusalem at the festival of dedication, which is more commonly known today as Hanukkah. And at that festival, he was asked if he was the Messiah. And his response was, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. I and the Father are one." And the Bible says that in response to that, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any good works," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you are a mere man claiming to be God." That's in John chapter 10, verses 25 to 33. So a bit later on it says they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed. So this is where we find Jesus and his disciples, on the other side of the Jordan, knowing that if they return to Jerusalem, they're likely to get stoned to death. Then Jesus receives a message. John chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" So Bethany, which was where Lazarus lived, was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. So it was very risky for Jesus to go back in that direction. Yet, Jesus' love for his friends was so much that he was willing to risk getting stoned to death to go and see them. And he couldn't miss an opportunity to glorify God, no matter what the risk was. So he, followed by his disciples, headed to Bethany to go and save Lazarus, because as Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death." Right? No. As it said in verse 6, Jesus stayed where he was for 2 more days. Why? I think the exact reasoning we don't really know, but what we can say is Jesus hanging around for those couple more days meant that by the time he got to Bethany, Lazarus had already been dead and buried for 4 days. Jesus was too late. Or was he? Verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." So, looking at what Martha said when Jesus came, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, he would not have died." Martha knew what Jesus could do. She believed in his power, but in her pain she was wavering. As the Bible commentator Matthew Henry says, her faith was true, but weak as a bruised reed. She fully believed what Jesus could do, but in her hurt she had limited Christ's power by saying, "If only you'd been here." Whereas she ought to have known that Christ could cure at a distance. And I'm sure she did know, really, but how often do we do that? How often in our pain and anger and sorrow do we think, God, if only you'd done that, or God, you could have just changed. I know personally I've done it quite a few times, even just in the last couple of days, and it's so easy to do. But keep watching, because that's not the end of the story. Verse 23 to 24. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answers, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So when Jesus told Martha that her brother would rise again, she immediately went to what John had recorded Jesus saying in John chapter 6, which is, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." That's John chapter 6, verses 39 to 40. So Martha knew that Lazarus, like everyone who dies in Christ, herself and us included, would be resurrected on the last day. But she didn't dare hope that her brother could be resurrected now. She was just waiting for that day. So when Jesus replied, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." As death comes by sin, life in Jesus, who is without sin, is without death. In John 14:19, Jesus says, "Because I live, you will live also." Martha knew that the hope of her brother's salvation, as well as her own, was in Jesus. She was fully confident that Lazarus would rise again at the last day to live eternally. But it didn't stop the pain or the sadness in the moment. But it did give her a hope to look forward to. Something that really resonated with me last week from what Bob said was this: only when you acknowledge the death and resurrection of Christ can you have the assurance you'll be raised to everlasting life. Live in the light of that hope. Having an eternal perspective adds something to life right now. I was really impacted by the fact that we can live in that assurance, we can live in the light of that hope, that we have everlasting life when we believe in Christ and his death and resurrection. It doesn't mean that we won't feel hurt or pain in this current situation. It doesn't mean we won't experience hardships and even death, because that's all a part of our life on this earth. But what it does mean is that we have a hope to look forward to, something beyond all of that. It gives us a hope that this life on earth isn't all that there is. There is more out there. And even though we will all die and all face death, and that is certain, we will never truly die, because our death on earth is really just moving to the next step. Some might say getting a promotion. And I think that's such an important truth to hold on to, because we can get caught up in the pain, we can get caught up in the anxiety, and it's not wrong to feel those things, but holding on to them is where it becomes a problem. So, after all of this, Martha went back to see her sister Mary, and she told her that Jesus had arrived. Mary went to Jesus, and the Jews who'd been with Mary, who were comforting her, followed. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and asked, "Where have you laid him?" "Come and see, Lord," they replied. The next verse is what most people know. 2 words, 9 letters in total. But so much is revealed in them. We know that Jesus was God. We know that he was God, the Son, in human form. And this verse is such a clear, good example of Jesus' human side coming through. This is his human nature, his perfect oneness with us as humans. Because he felt the same things that we feel. He felt the same emotions, the same heartache. He was still moved by the grief of his friends, even though he knew what was coming. He wept with them. And I think it's so important to remember that we don't try to hide our feelings from God. because Jesus didn't hide his feelings from us. And God gave us these things to feel. God gave us the ability to feel. So it is okay to feel, and it's okay to be honest about how you feel. God already knows. And when he sees us in pain, he weeps with us. And it's okay not to be okay. It becomes a bit of a cliche at times like this, but it's true. It is okay not to be okay. But your focus has to be then on God, not on your not okayness. Our Creator gave us that ability to feel so that we would be able to be compassionate, so that we would be able to be emotive people. But always remember that God is in control. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what happens, remember, as it says in Romans 8:28, God works for the good of those who love him. And that never changes. God always works for the good of those who love him. And that is such an important truth to hold on to, especially in such difficult times as we're in. God knows what's going on. For whatever reason, this is part of God's plan. Did he cause it? I don't think so. But I do believe he allows it. And that can be difficult sometimes for us to understand. But we have to know that God sees the bigger picture. God sees what we don't see. God knows the future, and God knows the best route for us to take. So just hold on to that, that in this time of confusion, of hardship, of pain, God doesn't always work in the way we expect him to. But it is important to know that he is always in control. Verse 36. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been in there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus came back to life. By the power of Jesus, Lazarus was brought back to life. But if we go back to verse 37 and have a look at what people said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" These people had heard of Christ's works. They knew what he could do. But knowing Christ can work miracles doesn't always mean that he's going to work the miracle that you want him to. Sometimes things happen that confuse us and make us question what's going on. But sometimes these things happen for greater miracles to follow. Never forget that God has perfect timing. And it says in Philippians 4:19 that God will meet all our needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. But it will be according to his perfect schedule, not ours. All our needs will be met. Every question we have will one day be answered, but it'll be in God's time, not in ours. If Jesus had been there before Lazarus had died, he'd have just shown another healing like all the others. But instead, he had the opportunity to show his power over death. The result of this miracle is shown in John 12, when it says, John 12 verses 9 to 11. It says, "A large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. On account of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him." That was a result of Jesus healing, of Jesus resurrecting Lazarus. These were the people who already knew about the healings. They already knew about the miracles that he'd done. But this resurrection of Lazarus, a man they knew to be dead, meant something different. Let's go back to what Jesus said in John 11, verse 4. This sickness will not end in death. But it did. Lazarus did die, even though Jesus said he wouldn't. So how does this work? Well, after this, Jesus said something else. He said, "No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." The clue to this comes from the word end. Yes, Lazarus did die, but that wasn't the end. Death was a result of the illness, but it wasn't the final end of it. The end came when Jesus raised him back to life. When the tombstone was removed and he called Lazarus out by name, very much alive and completely back to full strength. We will all face trials in this life, that's a given. But do we see them as the end? Or do we see them as a way to honour and glorify God? Things will hurt and we will weep. But that's okay, because Jesus did too. But his response was to turn that situation around and to use it as a way to glorify God. And if we look into the Psalms, that was David's response as well. So often in the Psalms, we see that David was in the middle of pain and suffering and anger and hurt. Yet, through prayer, through spending time with God, he works through that and comes to a place where, even though he's still in that pain, the situation still hasn't changed, he's able to worship and be thankful and honour and glorify God. And that should be our response too. We can't escape the bad times, but we can choose how to react to them. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus let Lazarus die. He didn't even need to be there to heal him. He could have healed him from afar. But Jesus knew what the bigger plan was. It wasn't necessarily the plan that Mary, Martha, or Lazarus wanted at the time. But Jesus knew the plan. Jesus knew what was most glorifying for God. Because he let Lazarus die, get buried and sealed in a tomb for 4 days. As we've already seen, Lazarus' resurrection resulted in so many Jews turning to Jesus. And as I said, those people would definitely have already known about Jesus' miracles. But there's something different about raising a man who'd been dead for 4 days from the grave. So what can we learn from this? Well, the resurrection of Lazarus was the last miracle that John records before Jesus' death on the cross. This was the big climax of the story in John's Gospel. All the miracles pointing to Jesus being who he said he was. He was the Son of God. And this final miracle truly shows that power over death and points towards his own death and resurrection. Lazarus would go on to live his life and die again, as any man would. But Jesus didn't. After Jesus' resurrection, he ascended to the Father. He ascended to heaven and took his seat at the right hand of the Father. And in John 14:19, Jesus says, "Because I live, you will live also." It's important to know that our hope is in this truth. Jesus' resurrection is the hope of our salvation. Because he was resurrected, because he lives, we too can live eternally. We will live also. He is the resurrection and the life. And if we believe that and believe in him, we can be sure of where we're going. And when we take our eyes off our situations and put them on God, we can live a better life, a life glorifying him. Imagine what would have happened if Jesus had called Lazarus and Lazarus had gone, "No, I'm dead." But he didn't. He didn't focus on the situation that he thought he was in. He focused on Jesus. He heard the voice and he came. He followed what Jesus wanted. Perhaps you need to take a few minutes now just to reflect on the ways, the truth that Jesus loves you. He died to take your punishment of sin. He rose again so that you too might rise again and have eternal life with him. Just take a few minutes to reflect on that. And perhaps there's some of you watching who, like Lazarus, have heard Jesus' call, but maybe you haven't yet taken the grave clothes off. Maybe you can't quite see the truth in the present situation. Maybe it's still obscuring your eyes. And if that's you, I just encourage you to spend a few minutes in prayer and ask God to take the grave clothes off. Ask him to open your eyes so that you can see the truth in your present situation. And I feel that some people watching this who have had the tombstone removed, but maybe you haven't yet walked out of the tomb and fully embraced the life that Jesus is calling you to. Maybe it's because you don't think you're worthy enough to be called by him. Or maybe there are things in your life that you see as blocking you from Jesus. But I really want to encourage you. He has removed the stone. There is no barrier between you and him. You can go to him and fully embrace your Saviour. He's waiting for you and calling you by name. He's taken on the punishment that you deserve, and he wants you to know that there really are no barriers. Go forth and walk in your new life. I really feel that's for someone out there. He's calling you. And don't be afraid to answer him. He's got a good life ahead for you. So, if either of those things particularly resonated with you, I want to pray for you now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the sacrifice that you made sending your Son to die on the cross, to take on the punishment for our sin. And I thank you that he was resurrected so that we too can be resurrected and live eternally. I thank you that you call every single one of us by name. And I ask now for those who don't feel like they can come out of the tomb, I pray that they will see your love for them. They will feel it in such a new and powerful way that they will no longer have any reservations about running to you and embracing the life you have for them. Help them to see that by your sacrifice, you have made them clean. Every barrier has been taken away, and all they have to do is repent and come to you. I also pray for those whose grave clothes haven't yet been removed. Lord, I ask you to take the grave clothes off and help them to walk in the truth and light of your saving love. Help them to see the new eternal life that you have set before them, and help them to walk in it for your glory. And Lord, I pray that they keep the grave clothes off as well. I feel that there's some people out there who have taken them off in the past, but you've put them back on again. Father, I pray you'll help those people take them off again, fold them in the corner and leave them there, never to be touched again. Help us all to live lives that glorify you, Lord, and help us all to fix our eyes on you in the midst of the difficult circumstances that we face at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, or you're new to Ruji Community Church and want to find out more about this whole Jesus thing, then why don't you email us at prayer@rugelycc.org.uk, and a member of our team will be able to help you with that. That's all from me today, so have a blessed rest of the day, and if you haven't yet watched Bob's preach from last week, the link will be in the video description, so go and watch that, I really recommend that. And next week, Andy will be preaching to us from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 10. So why don't you go and have a read of that this week, just in preparation for part 3 of this series. God bless. Bye.